Thank you. You may be seated. I appreciate that. What a great song. We'll learn it better as we go through the time. This time, we're going to start this evening with hearing from Pastor Burbidge, Pastor Paul Burbidge, Nova Scotia up there in Canada. We want to hear his testimony here and share his heart with us. And where exactly is he? I'm just looking across the assembly here. Right there. Come on, brother, dear brother. And he's just going to share a brief word. And then when you're finished, Pastor Burbidge, we're going to have Pastor Blanco come right after you, okay? Right after you when he comes. God bless you. Thank God. We welcome you. We're glad you're here.
Thank you,
Pastor. Amen.
Good evening, everyone. What a blessing to be with you, and we thank God and praise Him for His wonderful grace in our lives to allow us to serve Him, to know Him, to serve Him, and to fellowship with brethren of like faith and practice, and just what a blessing. We count it a blessing to be here with you at your missions conference, and meeting new folks today and reacquainting ourselves with folks from that we met before when we were here. It feels like it's been too long, and so we're just glad to be here and count it a privilege. Just thinking, by the way, of testimony, there's a particular verse that the Lord has been just blessing my heart with a lot lately. And out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency and the power may be of God and not of us." And I think in that whole thing is tied up, and that whole verse is tied up both our salvation, our service, and our entire lives, because we are but earthen vessels. And each day I remember back when I was 15 years old and my parents had been dragging me to church to hear the Bible preached, and that's the way I thought about it when I was lost. They were dragging me to church, you know, it was something that I would not have rather have done, but my parents faithfully took me to church and preached the gospel to me at home and preached the gospel to me. I heard the gospel preached at church and in Sunday school, faithful Sunday school teachers. I remember one of those Sunday school teachers, a lady in my preteens, and I remember, you know, seeing the grief on her face over my lost soul. And so those are, I didn't understand it in those days, but those are wonderful memories. I'm glad that she grieved over my lost soul. And when I was 15 years old, God began convicting me. Showed me that I was a hater of God. And although I was a hater of God with all my being, God loved me anyway, while I was yet His enemy. And God brought me to repentance toward Him, broke my heart over my sin before a holy God, and brought me to faith in Christ. And you know, that is the beginning of a new life, isn't it? And I have found as I've traveled this road with my Lord and Savior and my Heavenly Father, I've found that I am but an earthen vessel. An earthen vessel. And it is just impossible for me, this earthen vessel, it is impossible in any of my human wisdom or any of my skills or any of my human abilities to effect the work of God. It's just not possible. But I have a treasure, amen. I have a treasure in this earthen vessel, and that is the new creature and the indwelling Spirit of God and the promises of God and and God who is my Father. I have a treasure in this earthen vessel. And so each day as we continue to learn and we learn to serve God a little bit better each day, as we continue on this journey, just like you're on a journey, learning to know and to serve God a little bit better each day. As we do that, we learn, one, more about how weak this earthen vessel is, and two, how precious is this treasure that we have in this earthen vessel. And as we preach Christ with our mouths and bringing this body in subjection to Him, also preach it in this earthen vessel in our lives, we see God work. We see that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And you know, when we get to be around and invest in the lives of lost people or saved people, and they can see that this earthen vessel is not what they're trusting in, but that they're trusting in the power of the Almighty God and His Word, then it changes everything. It changes everything. Then it is possible for those rich men, like that rich young ruler, you remember? That rich young ruler who came and asked what he must do to have eternal life. And after he went away sorrowful, the disciples said, "Oh, how is it? How can anybody be saved?" Well, the fact is that with man it is impossible, but with God it is possible. And so this is a verse of testimony in my life and how God works in us, that we would die to ourselves daily and live by the faith of Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. And I hope an encouragement to you to ever draw nearer to the Lord every day. God bless you.
God bless you, brother. You okay?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I ask permission if I can come here with my jacket. I'm a little freezing. As I was mentioning to a couple of you earlier, the coldest Belize has ever gotten is 60 degrees. And I left there to come here to a 39 degrees this morning. I was freezing in my room a little bit. So I said, let me go outside. The sun was out. But as soon as I got out, I ran right back inside. It was warmer in here than out there. So my name is Pastor Rigoberto Blanco. I'm from Belize. I hope you understand my English. And I'll please forgive me if my Spanglish comes out. I have a Spanish accent now and again. It comes up, reminds me that I speak Spanish, all right? So if that comes up, I ask for forgiveness and bear with me. Well, I'm just here this evening to share a little bit what God has done in my life. Well, I was Pastor mentioned earlier. What great things God can do. I was born and raised in the Catholic Church. In Belize, there's probably 90% Catholic. At the time, I served in the altar for 6 years, and I thought I had it made because I was serving on a false religion, which I did not know. But I met my wife, and she had been saved, and she was praying after we got married for 15 years that I would get to know the Lord. And we had, you know, she was saved, I was not saved. And when it comes in preaching, what does unbeliever has to do with believers? I kind of touch the heart, because we tell our people, guess what, find a Christian, and then you have a happy marriage. But here I was living what the Bible said, unbeliever with a believer. And she was praying for 15 years. We had our ups and downs in our marriage. And then she finally gave up and said, you know what? When you are ready, will you find God? I'm not going to take you to church. I'm not going to bother you anymore. And I was working at a car rental place. And while there, Pastor Whitaker was coming down to Belize as a missionary from Ohio. Then he was looking for vehicles to buy. So he came over, looked at a couple vehicles. And we had an old German guy working for us, with us. And he gave the German guy a truck. And the German guy looked at it and he said, oh no, I think this guy needs it. And he gives it to me. I look at it, turn it around, and say, oh, Baptist church. And I knew my wife was a Baptist. So I put it in my pocket and I said, all right, I'll make her happy. I'll take her to church on Sunday. So I got home that Friday evening and I gave her the truck and I put it on the table in the dining area. And I told her, Sunday we're going to church. I'm going to take you to church. And she's like, I don't believe you. Saturday passed. Sunday morning I got up early, woke everybody up, get ready, we're going to church. I was taking her to church. I was going to try to make her happy so our marriage can stay married, right? I loved her. I didn't know how to make her married, but she loved the church. By then, I had abandoned the Catholic church, barely went to church. On that Sunday morning, she was surprised that I was dressed and ready to go to church. So I was taking her to church, not knowing that same morning, it wasn't me taking her to church. It was God taking me to church because I gave my life to him that morning. And my son and I have four kids, ages 21, 14, 8, and 3. And we didn't plan it. And God did. Right? We had the first boy was a natural, born naturally. Then we had the C-section on 2, and the doctor said no more. And then we prayed. And we said, you know what, we'll try it. She wanted a little girl. And thanks God, we got the little girl. She's 3 years old now. And God has worked a lot in my life. And I always, when I see my life, I can see how I can relate to what Peter did. Peter was a regular fisherman, right? And I like fishing. But when God called me to preach, I was running from him. I would go to church and normally I would sit where Pastor John was sitting. We had the back, the last seat. And then when Pastor Whitaker will be preaching, I'll be nodding, falling asleep. And he thought I was the only one agreeing with him, but I was falling asleep, right? So, and I was running from the Lord. And then I said, Lord, you know what? I didn't go to Bible college. I don't have a theological background. What can I do for you? How can I preach your word? And then reading the Bible, I said, hey, wait a minute. Here is Peter, a simple fisherman, and God and Jesus used him. And when he preached that sermon on Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. If he can use a fisherman like him, he can use an agriculture guy like me. I have an agriculture degree. So he can teach, he can make this agriculture guy be able to preach his word. And that's how I responded to his call. And at the same time, God called Pastor Whitaker to come back to Idaho, Pocatole, to plant another church. And he's like, Pastor, did God call you to preach? I'm like, no, not really. I was brushing it off. And finally I said, you know what? God had put it in my heart 6 months ago to do more for him than just drive a bus, pick people, and bring them to church. Right now I'm the pastor for 3 years now. In the same church. We have a small little church, 110 on Sunday mornings. Around 50, 60 on Thursday night evening service. God had put it in my wife's heart to take our kids from public school and do homeschooling. And Pastor Whitaker said, you know what? I did homeschooling with my kids. I leave all the materials for you. And one day you might use make it useful. And so we started with our kids and some other ladies from church. Hey, can I send in my child? So we started with seven kids in our house. We kicked our oldest son from his room and made it into a classroom. And then one of our ex friend boss, a boss that was our friend, he came in and said, you know what, you guys need your privacy. I have an old trailer and in my backyard, I'll bring it and you guys can fix it up and you can use it as a classroom. Not knowing that somebody in Pennsylvania was trying to do a mission trip somewhere. And they got in contact with Pastor Whitaker, and that's how we had Pastor Smith with his group coming in 2 weeks after we got the trailer to fix it up to it into a nice classroom. And now we have that mission as well. We have 13 kids now in that school. So it's amazing what the Lord can do and has been doing. And I told Pastor Smith earlier, When I used to go to church and I hear Pastor Whitaker talk about what God can do, I thought he was making up stories so he can encourage people and to get stronger in their faith. But you know what? Now that I am the pastor, I'm seeing it work. That God is real and he's alive and he does many, many wonderful things. If we only obey his commands. And that's all what I have. And I'm humbly here to share my testimony with you and what God is doing in Belize as well. So, and we just finished our anniversary. We have the biggest outreach we have is our anniversary. And we always have it in March. And last 2 weeks, we had 445 people coming for our 8th anniversary, the second highest attendance. And in that day, we had 112 new visitors coming to the church service. And out of those total, we have 27 and souls won for Christ. So if Peter can win 3,000, I think we can do that or more too. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. That's great. Brother Kelly, yeah.
Probably ought to sing first, huh? Well, we can do that. Here's a song that I wrote for one of our very first missions conferences up there in Lewiston, Maine. And it really touches the heart of missions here.
Jesus lived and died for all mankind, that all who turn and call on his name shall be freed from sin and cleansed within, and never die in shame. But who will go, and who will show the life, the truth, the way? Lord, here am I, use me until I die, to reach the lost today. In this world there's sin, no peace within, all hope is lost in sorrow and pain, and religious pride on every side, oh, sin hath left its stain. But who will go, and who will show the life, the truth, the way? Lord, here am I, use me until I die, to reach the lost today. Can you see their face in every place? The souls of those who never have heard, and so they wait upon their fate. Oh, how they need God's word. But who will go, and who will show the life, the truth, the way? Lord, here am I, use me until I die, to reach the lost today. Lord, here am I, use me until I die, to reach the lost today.
I tell you, what a wonderful God we have, merciful, long-suffering, loving. You know, my wife and I, we are first-generation Christians. And we want many. Not just many souls, we want many generations after us. And, you know, we're starting to really see that up there in Maine. We went up there a little over 10 years ago to start that church. And so this year in June, we are celebrating our 10th anniversary. It just feels like we're just getting started. Still in our family, my wife and I's family, you know, we still really don't see any fruit from anybody's salvation testimonies. So we've kind of given up on them and thought, well, if they won't listen, there's a whole world out there that will. And, you know, we've turned our focus on them. We've seen so much fruit ever since. You know, we are meeting in our home, but we say that. People say, oh, in your house. Yeah, it's a big house. Okay, it's a big house. And, you know, it's an old 1840s home, brick home, and it was like 9 bedrooms and 6 baths at one time. You know, it was 3 attics, 2 basements, and it's crazy. And we've got room to grow, and, you know, we can... There are times that I don't even come out of the house for like 2 weeks straight, and people say, Pastor, have you been even out of the house? And I haven't been. I let my wife do all the shopping, and we have church there. I just come down. Usually I'm fully clothed, I'm just fearing that one day that I'm going to forget something. You know, I had an uncle that used to, to church, he'd forget something. He came to church one time, he had his tie on, but he forgot his shirt, and I don't want that to happen, So I have to make sure everything's set in order to come down. But there are some days, that I don't even leave the house. It's a big compound, really. So the Lord has just blessed us with that. We are seeing about a new family every year join the church. Up there in Upper New England, we would be a would you say, a good-sized church. Here, you'd call it small church, I guess if you were up in... at the Upper Woods, we would be a mega church, but we're about 40 people on Sunday morning, about 40 people Sunday night, 40 people on Wednesday night. We started a Bible Institute. About 80% of the families are represented in that. We've kind of held off a little bit because a lot of them were having children, our grandchildren, so that's okay. But it's really flourishing. We have a sweet spirit up there. It's unreal. It's a unity that I've never seen before in any place. We have no big, bulls up there, I should say. Those bulls that always push against the fences, and we don't have any of those. It's just a really sweet spirit up there. I, as a pastor, I purpose that I don't win every battle. On purpose, we are the Lord's church. This isn't Pastor Kelly's church, and we are his sheep, and I'm just one of those sheep. And our theme verse for our 10th year anniversary is Psalm 79:15, and they don't know it yet, but they'll get it pretty quick here. But this verse here really, to me, sums up, my wife and I's heart, of just trying to win people to Christ, not just win them to Christ, but instill God's word, and not just instill God's word, but a love for God's word. That's the hardest thing, is to get to the heart of people. Almost every slip today, every problem in churches around, we see them like crazy. We can go in there and we can pound doctrine, pound doctrine, pound practice, but it is really a heart issue, And people who don't want to see it, they won't see. But hopefully we are up there and we are establishing, not the next generation, but the generation thereafter. You know, our focus isn't on the people that we have now. We are focused on the people who they are going to reach. And that has always been my wife and I's philosophy. That's been our philosophy with raising our son. We were always mindful that we are raising the father of our grandchildren. And as a school teacher, you know how that is, Mrs. Smith. If you could teach the next generation to be teachers, not just to be doers, that is so important. And so that's our philosophy. You know, we are just his sheep. Psalm 79:13, and it fits my heart for the ministry so well, and it is this: so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. We're setting up tomorrow. And if that is our focus, today comes naturally. We get so myopia, you know. I know that you don't know what that means, there, Brother Blanco, but where you just got this tunnel vision. That's what it means, you know, where you just see just this and now. We can't. We've got to see through the eyes of the Lord, and we can't do that except by faith. And that's what we really try to instill in our people. And I look back the last 10 years, and we are just God's sheep going forth, setting up the vision of to all generations. We're the first generation, and I want to set up multiple generations forever and ever for all eternity. And it has been such a blessing to be up there and to serve the Lord. The 10 years have went by so fast, and it just seems like we're just getting started. It just seems like, we're just barely scratching the surface. You know, I don't know how some preachers run through all their material in 3 or 4 years, and then they change churches and run through it, and I'm thinking, I'm just beginning to get the beginnings, you know. There's so much. If it was up to me to preach the whole counsel of God, I think it would take 150 years or more. And, wow, I can't imagine what it was like, you know, for Methuselah and Noah to be able to have hundreds of years to preach, you know, the character of God. And I believe the word of God. I don't miss that for a bit. But praise the Lord. So we know you all were there from the very beginning. You guys were a really vital part of our ministry up there. We were able to come here for that missions conference probably 11 years ago, and we came back for another one or two. I don't remember now. And you all have been just a huge blessing to us in those early years until we really got on our feet. My wife and I, we do a lot of extra work and things. We'll clean doctor's offices at night, you know, and she does clean during the day. My son and I, we run, you know, a painting company, but we've done so many things, and it's crazy. But my son is he's now married, like I say, with two children, and Brianna, our adopted daughter, you know, some of you have met her. She's married with one boy and one on the way. So it's just such a thrill to see, you know, people coming to Christ, you know, and the Lord's church growing. And I keep telling our people, I say, folks, this is not a normal church. This is not a normal church. This is the way it should be. There is a sweet spirit here. Let's do everything we can on our knees to keep this spirit here and creating a hunger for God's word in the next generation. So we'll talk a lot more about that in the upcoming services, but I thank you all, but I tell you, I thank the Lord, our chief shepherd, that he has allowed us under shepherds to be able to do what we do. And I have a wonderful assistant up there also, Brother Bowmaster. He came up there with us at the beginning. They're up to 11 children now. Yeah, 11. So it is wonderful. And they are real special. they never sit together. They're always sitting with visitors, and they're all spread out, you know. They're from 22 years old all the way down to 2 years old. And they'll just sit, and the new visitors come, and those little girls just go right up and snuggle up around them and hold them by the... They're just ministering spirits, even before they're saved. And it's really wonderful. That really brings life into a church. You know, we look at our children, and we say, wow, don't they have so much life? Folks, God calls us children. He never calls us adults. One of the reasons he does not want us to lose that first love, that spark you see in these children, God says, that's the spark I want you to have always. And as we get older, we kind of get mundane and in our ways. And, oh, we need to learn, you know, about the love of the Lord so we can truly keep learning like children. He says you cannot learn properly unless you come to me as a little child. He wasn't talking about the children there primarily. He's talking to us. We need to come with those just open, yielded, eyes wide open hearts, you know. And as a little child just soaks up everything, you know, that mommy and daddy and grandma and grandpa tell them, that's the way we need to be with the Lord. And that's our heart for the ministry. And that's our verse for our 10th year anniversary, and we are looking forward to the next 10 years. If the Lord tarries, I don't know if he will, but if he does, we're looking forward to the next generations. Amen. All right, brother.
Thank you so much, men. Our hearts have been blessed and challenged and encouraged already by hearing you three. I appreciate it so much. We're honored to have you here. We hope and pray that through these 3 days, the Spirit of God will work in our hearts and we'll be able to be challenged by you and also to be a mutual blessing to one another.